Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus on this fourth Sunday of Advent as we gather to receive the love of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live-streamed or recorded worship. But regardless of how we've entered this worship this day, we can all know that we are blessed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that holds us together as the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So a few announcements this morning. In addition to thanking our worship leaders, our liturgists, our greeters, and ushers, I also want to extend a particular thank you to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that's making the broadcast of this worship possible, and also to Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our worship. I want to thank our Advent candle lighters this morning, the Dixon family, who you'll be seeing shortly. Thanks to them for being here this morning. I'll remind us all about the covenant that we have that for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of your bulletin. These are the things that we've agreed to do during this time of COVID and pandemic as we worship together. I also want to let you know specifically about prayer requests this day. If you're at home, you can email your prayer requests to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to bring those into our morning prayer this morning. And for those of you who are here in person, if you have a prayer request, you'll find an index card in the pew, and we invite you to write your prayer on that index card, and we can lift this up during the time of the prayer. We'll have an usher collect those right around the time of the prayer. So you have one last opportunity to order poinsettias this morning. Volunteers will be at the rear of the sanctuary following worship to take your order if you would like to have a poinsettia for this year. Also, this afternoon, we have a last time of gathering together to light our outdoor Advent candles. That'll happen at 5 o'clock. This is about a 15-minute or less time together, but a way to mark this final Advent candle lighting. Also, we're encouraging you, if you could, to send us a photo of you or your family lighting your Advent candles during this time. We're going to incorporate these into our Christmas Eve worship. And speaking of our Christmas Eve worship, just want to remind you, in case you have forgotten, that we do have a Christmas Eve service here in person, but also live streamed, of course, on Pegasus. That'll happen at 7 o'clock, and so we look forward to that time. I do want to let you know, if you are planning to participate in worship virtually, then there is a special link. And there are some dedicated channels on Pegasus for watching the service and being a part of it. So more information about that will be in this week's weekly link emailings, also on the church's website. And if you have any questions at all about this, please don't hesitate to contact the church office to let us know. I also wanted to let you know that Sunday the 26th, we will be having worship. It is a couple of days after Christmas Eve, but we'll be here, I will be here, and it will be a special service of songs and stories for that service in lieu of a reflection. So for those of you who appreciate a little time off from Jonathan sermonizing, you'll be able to do that. So let's see, also want to let us know about our New Year brunch, which is scheduled for Sunday, January 2nd. And is Sarah Lynn here?
Yes.
Oh, are you gonna let us know about that, or should I?
Oh, is this on, Hank? Okay, yes, the New Year brunch is going to be just slightly different this year. We're gonna have a regular worship service here so that it can be broadcast, live stream, and out on Pegasus on the January 2nd. But we also want to invite you, we hope to have a brunch afterwards down in the vestry, prepared by Chef Bob and crew, And so we'll be asking people to sign up for that so we know how many people are coming. You'll see that in the link and on the church website as well. But stay tuned because, you know, with COVID situations changing, that also may change. But for now, we are hoping to have a brunch after the January 2nd New Year celebration up here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So we also want to let you know about some transitions that are happening here pastorally. Most of you know that my final service with the church is on January 2nd, so that's coming up pretty soon. So we wanted to specifically let you know that we will have some bridge coverage, which just means a few short weeks of pastoral coverage during that time in January. This will happen. This will be covered by the Reverend Elaine Gattani, who we know. Elaine was our bridge about 2 years ago for a few weeks, so she'll be doing that. And then we're very pleased to let you know that the Reverend Andy Burr will be joining this congregation as a successor interim on January 31st. So you'll be learning more about this in a letter that will go out to the congregation very soon. So, but we just wanted to let you know that we do have a plan and excellent coverage during this time, and I am so grateful to Elaine and to Andy for stepping up to continue in helping to lead this congregation pastorally. In our reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, a messenger appears in a dream to Joseph as a sign from God, heralding a new era, saying, "Do not be afraid." Joseph may have had reason to be afraid with this strange angelic appearance, speaking of a child that was not his, but telling him to go through with the marriage and not to cast Mary off. And yet there may be more to Joseph's fear, for the messenger was also heralding a new way of being together, a new loving way of relating to God and to one another, a way that takes courage, because it means letting go of our ideas about how things should be. So a new and a better day of loving kindness can be born.
Soon we shall celebrate the birth of Jesus. As we gather around the Advent wreath today, we rejoice that Christmas is a time of prayer and of open hearts when we sing songs of joy. Christmas is a time of worship, the moment when the busiest of us pause in wonder. Christmas happens when God comes to us in love through Jesus Christ and fills us with love for all humankind.
Hear these words from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought also to love one another.
We light these candles to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. We relight the first Advent candle to remind us that the arrival of Jesus brought hope into a dark world. We relight the second Advent candle to remind us of the peace God gave us by making God present to us in Jesus. We relight the third candle the third candle, to remind us of the great joy that came from the good news Jesus brought into the world. As we light the fourth candle, we are reminded that with the coming of the light, there is love, a great love that helps us to love God and one another.
Please join us in praying our unison prayer. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of daring love, even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when we cannot yet see a better day when we act like the human family we are. Ignite the flame of love within us that we might glow with its brilliance from the inside out. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of the humble and lowly, as shepherds were sent to a stable and there bowed before the holy child, so we have been led to the manger. We bow in amazement with them at such a birth in such a place. Love came near, born in a manger. The Lord of love and light has burst into this world of conflict and chaos to illumine our darkness and to light our way to a new way of peace. May Christ be born anew among us this day, that our lives might witness to the truth of Christ's abiding presence with all people. Amen.
So I invite us now to share the peace of Christ, to do so remaining physically distant and yet opening ourselves to each other, perhaps reaching out in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing the spirit of peace with others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. Beloved, the light has come into the midst of our darkness. And so let us give now of our life and labor so that this light might shine in the lives of many. These little rays of light make their way out of the sanctuary. That's a blessing to us. May God be with you there as God is with us here. This is a season of gift giving, of course, and this is the season when we remember that we are blessed and we have the power to bless the lives of others. And so we do, in that spirit, we lift up this time now of receiving this morning's offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Emmanuel, to a world of hurt and fear and oppression, you came to bring healing and hope and justice. So receive and bless the gifts of money, of devotion, and of service that we bring to your cradle. May they be used for your purposes as love continues to address the world's need. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So, true confessions. This sermon started out when I read today's Advent scripture, and Average Joe popped into my head. I mean, literally, I've been planning worship for the last, several months, and that's the title that I put on the sermon before I even really began to think about that. But it seems fitting, especially because when you think of it, we hear so little about Joseph, Average Joe, Ordinary Joe, Joe Schmo. Here is a character that we all know well, or at least a stereotype. Sometimes in our here and now, we refer to this character as Joe Sixpack or Joe Lunchbox, Lunch Bucket. The completely average, unexceptional, regular guy, and an everyman, maybe, right? The thing is, the more I thought about it, the more I realized how off this whole idea of an average Joe really is in this day and age. Is the name Joe really as common as it once might have been, at least in this nation, especially for the so-called average working class American, whose numbers are increasingly made up of more plain Janes, the women's version of this stereotype, not to mention Jose's and Giuseppe's and Yusef's. Or remember another average Joe, James Joseph Wurzelbacher, so-called Joe the Plumber, the guy who questioned Barack Obama in 2008 on his small business tax policy during the president's run for office, who came to national attention during the debates and was used as a metaphor for middle class Americans. And of course, it turned out that scrutiny revealed that Joe didn't have a plumber's license, that he hadn't even completed the apprentice. program and that he owed back taxes. And after numerous high-profile interviews, stumping with candidate then John McCain, signing with an agent to handle his personal appearances and writing a book, it became very hard to make the case that Wurzelbacher was average any longer. But who is average, really, when you look into it? Consider Joseph, an average Joe, if ever there was the one, relegated to a supporting role. Mary, as a mother of God, gets star billing. I mean, Ave Maria, right? Right, Beth? Ave Joseph? I don't think so. But the shepherds, the magi, even the donkey gets more press than Joe. Of course, failing to get reservations in Bethlehem and making them settle for a stable didn't help his cause, right? But Joseph didn't seem to want even the attention that he did receive. He had other plans for a quiet life. Be a carpenter, pay his taxes, get married, settle down in Nazareth. An ordinary guy with modest prospects, an average guy, but a good guy, whose reasonable plans were absolutely shattered when Mary turned up pregnant. Ironically, that is just when we realize that Joseph is not average, or if he is, we should be so average, I think. Jesus' birth was scandalous on many levels, not the least of which was the relationship between Joseph and Mary. They were betrothed, they were not married, but with a binding commitment that could only be ended by divorce. And so we can imagine that as Mary looked more and more pregnant, so too would Joseph's embarrassment, confusion, and hurt have grown. But our first inkling, I think, that Joseph is no average Joe is the next thing he does. In the law's eyes, Mary was an adulteress to be cast off, if not stoned to death, in that time. He could have taken legal action. Today, you know, he'd probably have gone on a talk show to destroy her reputation. But we are told that Joseph was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. In light of these disappointments, he makes a new plan, a merciful plan. He will let her go quietly and he will walk away from his disappointment. And then one night, we're told, this plan that he has made is interrupted. It's interrupted by a dream of an angel who says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived is of the Holy Spirit. So, as the story is told, this seems to clear everything up for Joseph. And he simply does as he's commanded. That's what we hear in the story. But pregnancy isn't easy to explain away. Joseph must have dreaded his neighbor's questions, so I sort of imagine this. Neighbor, so you got a baby. What's his name? Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, it means he saves. Yeah, but why name him that? Because he will save the people from their sins. Right. Well, he doesn't look like you. Well, he's not mine. Oh, born a bit premature, eh? Well, like I said, he's not mine. Who's the Father? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yes, you see, it was a virgin birth. Oh, a virgin birth. There's a lot of that going around. So you can see his problem, right? But what does Joseph do? What we know is that he carries on. He carries on, setting his plans aside and believing in a dream, even at the moment of his greatest disappointment. All in all, not so average after all, I think. And perhaps this is why God singled Joseph out to play a crucial role in this story. You know, most of us have been touched by disappointment of some kind or another, and frankly, we may feel it especially keenly at this time of year, at this Christmas time of year. Some of us have known directly grief or experienced family strife that frankly often comes to the fore during the holiday times, or at least we have to navigate it. Some of us have battled illness or addiction or depression. Our jobs may have been threatened or lost, maybe during this pandemic. Though we may have planned for a better year by Christmas, disappointments may be piled up pretty high. So when life doesn't turn out as we hoped, like Joseph, well, we usually revise our plans. Bury ourselves in our work, pray that we don't lose it in the midst of the chaos. Resign ourselves to the fact that our families either won't be together for Christmas, or if they are, that maybe there will be tension and maybe an eruption that breaks out. But the thing is, plans that are born of disappointment can absolutely numb us. They may help us cope, but they can't lull us. Excuse me, but they can also do something else, and that is to lull us into a kind of spiritual sleep. The only way to wake up, I think, is to discover a dream that is so captivating that it holds us. I think that one of our greatest problems is that we have far too many plans and not nearly enough dreams. Many of us have either lost the ability to dream or the capacity, the will to believe in those dreams. Either way, we have forgotten how to live with wonder. And yet, you all are here, or you're there at home. And frankly, I've pretty frequently asked the question, why is that? Why do we show up? Not just this Holy Week, but why do we show up at all? And I think it is because we are searching for something. In our hearts, we know it has to be something other than one more plan. It has to capture our longing to believe again. So I don't offer you a plan B, because I know nothing short of a life-saving dream is going to do for you or for me. Instead, I offer the promise of Christmas, not of the presents, but what's underneath that, which has never been about our plans. Here at this season, we proclaim a dream of dreams. God's hope for all people that begins with an angel saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Life isn't what you had planned, but do not be afraid." This isn't escapism. We may want to transcend the world of hurt that we know in this world, but the dream of Christmas assures us that hope descends. It's the dream of God with us. It's the dream of all-embracing, healing, life-transforming love that we can know in part because we are called to make it real for others. What made Joseph no average Joe in his time or any was his willingness to cast aside all the plan Bs based on disappointments and to shun the puny dreams crafted by conventional wisdom and to make a wildly audacious dream his own. Jesus' birth demands, I think, a similar response to us if we're willing to go there. Fact is, Christ is being born among people who are not getting the Christmas that we planned. And yet, we're each given the opportunity to be beyond average, like innkeepers finding a place for the Christ child, like truth seekers wise enough to follow the star, like shepherds open to miracles, like Mary accepting the impossible, like Joseph living righteously, compassionately, faithfully, in short, like dreamers, For the God whose birth in human flesh we remember this week isn't average, but awesome. A God of dreams, a God of wonder, a God of hope and of love beyond our imagining. May we live that dream and endeavor to make it a reality for a world that needs more than any, well, mediocre dreaming can produce. May our loving God make it so. Amen. I invite you all to be with me in a time of prayer together. And of course, I invite you to make sure that you spend a little time with the bulletin prayer requests that you find there. We've got a long list of folks, some of whom are on there regularly and some of whom have been added. And we do encourage you not just to pray for these folks in these situations now, but perhaps to revisit this during the week as well. And so I ask if there are other prayer requests or celebrations that you have written on a card and we can collect at this time. So friends, I'd like to let you know that our dear friend Alva Chapin passed away this week. She was age 89. There'll be a private service, but we'd like to keep her spirit and her family in our prayers. We pray for Sarah and her sisters who recently lost their father. We pray for Jan, who was hospitalized in a coma after a fall at home. We pray for Angie, who was hospitalized this week from cancer complications. We pray for a friend, Julie, who had a house fire this week. We pray for a cousin, Jill, whose barns were leveled during this week's tornadoes, along with some minor house damage. We pray for that region of the country that suffered those terribly destructive storms and for what it means to live in the aftermath. We pray for love and for the ability to dream dreams of love so potent that we're spurred to make that love real. Let us pray together. Holy One, creator of darkness and of light, we gather in the deepening darkness of this winter time and look for the light of your presence. We know that there is pain and suffering in this world, in our relationships, and in our living with the past, in the streets of our nation, and in all the corners of the globe. Within us, as well as we struggle with our everyday concerns about jobs and health and finances and coping with loss of many kinds. And yet we gather here once again to announce the season of expectation, to proclaim the light that overcomes darkness, to herald the love of God on the darkest night. Shining One, bring your brilliance and warmth, especially to those whose names we have lifted up this day, and those whose identities remain in the secret places of our hearts. Be with these and all others who are in need of your radiant love. And fill us all with that radiance, O Lord. Make us strong enough to stand fast in hope of the coming Prince of Peace, tender enough to embrace each sign of new life, foolish enough to jump with joy at each child's smile, bold enough to sing praise and carols to the whole world, humble enough to work for the common good of strengthening this community, other communities, and beyond, loud enough or soft enough to touch someone's heart this day and all through the week. God of light and love, let your light shine in us and through us. O child of Bethlehem, come to us. For it is in your name that we ask these things and pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, kindle the light and love of Christ within you and receive this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with kindness on this day and give you peace and joy and hope and love on this day and in all your days to come. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.